if that's okay with you. Elizabeth nodded. Sir, Bruder said forcefully, I'd like to recommend Dr. Sinsky be examined by your onboard physician. She's had some medical...
I'm fine, Sinsky interjected. Truly. Thank you, though.
The provost eyed Bruder a long moment and then motioned to a table of food and drink being set up on the deck. Catch your breath. You're going to need it. You'll be going back ashore very shortly. Without further ado, the provost turned his back on the agent and ushered Sinsky into an elegant stateroom and study, closing the door behind him. Drink? He asked, motioning to a bar. She shook her head, still trying to take in her bizarre surroundings.
Who is this man? What does he do here?
Her host was studying her now, his fingers steepled beneath his chin. Are you aware that my client, Bertrand Zobrist, referred to you as the silver-haired devil?
I have a few choice names for him as well.
The man showed no emotion as he walked over to his desk and pointed down at a large book. I'd like you to look at this. Sinsky walked over and eyed the tome.
Dante's Inferno?
She recalled the horrifying images of death that Zobrist had shown her during their encounter at the Council on Foreign Relations. Zobrist gave this to me 2 weeks ago. There's an inscription. Sinsky studied the handwritten text on the title page. It was signed by Zobrist. My dear friend, thank you for helping me find the path. The world thanks you too. Sinsky felt a chill.
What path did you help him find?
I have no idea. Or rather, until a few hours ago, I had no idea.
And now?
Now I've made a rare exception to my protocol, and I've reached out to you. Sinsky had traveled a long way and was in no mood for a cryptic conversation.
Sir, I don't know who you are or what the hell you do on this ship, but you owe me an explanation. Tell me why you harbored a man who was being actively pursued by the World Health Organization.
Despite Sinsky's heated tone, the man replied in a measured whisper. I realize you and I have been working at cross purposes, but I would suggest that we forget the past. The past is the past. The future, I sense, is what demands our immediate attention. With that, the man produced a tiny red flash drive and inserted it into his computer, motioning for her to sit down. Bertrand Zobrist made this video. He was hoping I would release it for him tomorrow. Before Sinsky could respond, the computer monitor dimmed, and she heard the soft sounds of lapping water. Emerging from the blackness, a scene began to take shape. The interior of a water-filled cavern, like a subterranean pond. Strangely, the water appeared to be illuminated from within, glowing with an odd crimson luminescence. As the lapping continued, the camera tilted downward and descended into the water, focusing in on the cavern's silt-covered floor. Bolted to the floor was a shiny rectangular plaque bearing an inscription, a date, and a name. In this place, on this date, the world was changed forever. The date was tomorrow. The name was Bertrand Zobrist. Elizabeth Sinsky felt herself shudder.
What is this place? She demanded. Where is this place?
In response, the provost showed his first bit of emotion, a deep sigh of disappointment and concern. Dr. Sinsky, he replied, I was hoping you might know the answer to that same question. 1 mile away on the waterfront walkway of Riva degli Schiavoni, the view out to sea had changed ever so slightly. To anyone looking carefully, an enormous gray yacht had just eased around a spit of land to the east. It was now bearing down on St. Mark's Square.
The Mendacium,
FS 2080 realized with a surge of fear. Its gray hull was unmistakable.
The provost is coming, and time is running out.